Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
And as a result, his punishment was to be placed in a river called Hades, and the water of this river came up to his chin. And above him, there were just tons of branches of voluptuous fruit. And his punishment that every time he was thirsty and he wanted a drink of water, every time he would lower his head, the river would recede and go down so he couldn't get a drink. And when he wanted food for his stomach, every time he would reach up for the food would go up, the branches would raise just out of his reach. And he would, no matter how high he could get, it just went out of his reach. And the moral of the story is that when you reach for the things of this life to fulfill you, to satisfy the hunger and the thirst that you have, when you look to the things of this life for fulfillment, you will be like Tantalus. It will never, ever satisfy. And this morning, as we conclude our series on Fast and Furious, so the past several weeks of the new year, we've been talking about how to fast and to seek after God, praying to God for answers. As we wrap up our series today, we're going to focus on the topic of intimacy with God. Because if there is nothing in life except intimacy with God, that will satisfy you. Yet there are so many people today that are grasping for that branch or lowering their head for the river. They're trying to find it in relationships, trying to find it in power, trying to find fulfillment in prestige, in accomplishments, in riches, in partying, in pleasure, in escaping through drugs and alcohol. And no matter what they do, they cannot find fulfillment apart from intimacy with God, because God created you. And as your creator, he created a God-shaped void inside of you. It's like a piece of a puzzle that only one piece will fit. And the piece that is missing in our lives is intimacy with God. And so this morning, as we wrap up our series on fasting, I want to talk about fasting for intimacy with God. Sometimes, have you ever had a time in your life when everything was going good? Everything was going well. Your marriage was good. Your family was good. Your grades were good. Your finances were good. Your health was good. Everything was good. And yet, you still had this disconnect from God. God seemed distant. And you couldn't put a finger on it, but there was just this separation. There was this distance between you. How many of you ever felt like that before? Nothing's wrong, but yet you just know you don't feel connected to God. How many have felt that way? Several of you have. What do you do when there's nothing wrong? You're doing everything right. You're not sinning. You're not being bad, not doing anything. What do you do when you feel a disconnect from God? I propose to you today, that is a perfect time when you begin to fast for intimacy with God. You begin to ask God for him to provide for you. How many of you have a cell phone this morning? If you have your cell phone, get it out, wave it at me today. How many cell phones we have? Lots of cell phones. How many love your cell phone? Isn't it great? You can go anywhere and stay connected to anyone. And anyone can stay connected to you. I remember as a kid growing up. Now, my kids have no idea. My older ones maybe remember a little bit, but my youngest one, she doesn't remember this. How many remember a landline? How many remember that? The phone hangs on the wall, and there is a cord. And remember, you'd go to Walmart or wherever, or Radio Shack, and you would buy the longest cord possible. You know, so it extends, you know, 20 feet around out of the kitchen into the living room. But, you know, then you stop, and you're stuck there. Thank God for cell phones because, hey, we can connect with anyone, anywhere, anytime. But if you don't connect your cell phone to the charger, your phone runs out of power and you lose that connection. And there are times in our life, you see, if we're a Christian, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. He has said that I go with you always. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. His Holy Spirit lives in us. He indwells us. We have Christ in us, but there are times if we don't get plugged in and connected to God and lose the power, we lose that ability to connect and to feel close to Him. And so this morning, we want to talk about how do we connect with God. When you can't hear Him, when you can't communicate with Him, when you can't see Him, it's time to put the phone back on the charger and to charge up, and we do that through prayer and fasting for intimacy. So in your notes this morning, I want to share with you several insights on intimacy with God, all right? Number one, insight number one, intimacy is based on your pursuit of God. Intimacy is based on your pursuit of God. The disciples had been living with Jesus for 3 years. And right before Jesus dies, he tells them he's dying, he's leaving them, and he's going to heaven. We see this in John 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." And the disciples are thinking, how are we going to make it without you being here? I mean, Jesus, for the past 3 years, we've spent every waking moment with you. We've walked with you. We've talked with you. We've ate with you. We've seen you teach. You've taught us. We've seen you do miracles. We've hung out with you, and now you're going to disappear on us? How are we going to make it? Jesus actually gave them the key earlier in his ministry in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. He said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." When Jesus left the disciples, he knew there was going to be a gap in the physical intimacy, because right now he was with them. His proximity, he was close, but he knew when he went to heaven, there is this distance, this physical distance between him and his disciples, and he said to them, when you're feeling that distance, the way to bridge the gap is through fasting. Fast for intimacy with Christ. Fasting is the way that God would provide ongoing connectedness to the disconnectedness that we experience in our spiritual life. This disconnectedness is known as aloneness. And in your notes, we give you a definition of aloneness, because there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Loneliness is a temporary feeling of being by yourself. It comes and goes. It just kind of ebbs and flows depending on what's happening in your life. But aloneness is a permanent feeling of being by yourself. A single person can be lonely, but not have to be alone. You might be lonely, but you don't have to be alone, because God said he will always be with you. Jesus didn't promise that you wouldn't have periods of loneliness, but he's saying that he would always be with you. Some of you know what it's like to be living with someone, but still be alone. Maybe it's your spouse, they're not a Christian. Or maybe it's a family member or someone. Maybe you're living in the same house, but there's not that connectedness and you feel all alone, even though someone is around you. God says, you are never alone with me. Others of you know what it's like to be on a trip. And even though you've got maybe hundreds, even thousands of miles between you and the other person, you have this connectedness because you're in contact with your phone. And even though there's this distance, you're not in close proximity, you have intimacy. And God says we can have that with him if we fast, because letter B, intimacy is tied to the dynamic of the relationship, not to the closeness of the person. You can have intimacy with an invisible God who's not physically here through the connectedness of prayer and fasting. Jesus said, when I'm gone, fast. That's how you get a connection with me. Many of us Life is kind of like the 4th of July. The fireworks, they set up this momentary thrill, this momentary sparkle. Ooh, ah, wow. And so many times people are lighting the firecrackers of partying, of pleasure, of power, of riches. And they pop and they sparkle for a moment. But deep inside, it doesn't fulfill us. And we still have that emptiness. You don't have to have that emptiness. You don't have to have that aloneness if you seek intimacy with God. You probably will hear me say this many times this morning. But Jesus said, if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. Intimacy is based on your pursuit with God. God says, if you want me, come and get me. It's kind of like the story of a couple that was celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And, you know, after 25 years, things weren't as hot as they once were. They'd kind of gotten into a rut, gotten into a routine. Okay, it's the 25th. We need to go out. We need to celebrate. We need to eat dinner. So they go to a restaurant. They have the dinner. They do the celebration. And they come out of the restaurant. The valet pulls up the car. The husband opens the door for the wife, lets her in. He comes around, gets in the seat. And his wife just looks over and says, you know, I remember the days when we sat so close together. Now, that was in the days when cars had bench seats. Some of you remember the bench seats? I had my second car when I was in college had a bench seat. Bench seats were great. They were great. I mean, couples would sit so close together, you wouldn't know who's driving. If you're looking from the driver's side, you'd think the guy was driving. If you're looking from the passenger side, you think the girl's driving because they're sitting that close. You only see one head in the car, not two. But the husband said, well, I've been sitting here in the same seat for the past 25 years. So if there's any distance between us, it's because you've moved, because I've been here all the time. And friends, that's what God is saying to us today. If you feel there's any distance between you and God, he's been sitting right here in the driver's seat the entire time, driving your life, taking control, going where you want to go. If there's any distance, it's because you have slowly inched away, gradually gotten away until now we're sitting on this side of the car. Is just natural to you, and you don't even think about it anymore. Your intimacy with God is based on your pursuit with God. Letter C, intimacy is being aligned with God. It's being aligned with God. How many hunters do we have in here? Oh, I know there's more than that. Come on, there's a few hunters here. When you're shooting a rifle, there's two sights, the one down at the end of the barrel and one up closer, nearer to your eye. If you're going to be accurate and hit your target, whatever it is you're aiming for, you need to align the front sight and the back sight together. When the sights are aligned, you hit the target. And friends, intimacy with God comes when we get aligned, we align ourselves, our sight, with God's sight, and we're saying, I am aiming at what God is aiming at. When we're aiming at our own thing and it's not what God is, you will not hit the target of life. And this is what fasting does. When we fast, when we give up a meal, when we give up food, or maybe we're giving up TV or Facebook, and instead we're saying, the time that I would devote to that activity, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. A couple things happen. Our flesh dies. Our flesh doesn't like it. And as our flesh dies and grows weaker, our spirit becomes stronger. We align with God. We spiritually align with God. And so that's the importance of fasting, because it helps you get aligned with God, looking at his target. Your intimacy with God is totally based upon your pursuit. If you seek him, you maybe will find him. No, you will. Guarantee. How many like guarantees? How many have had some guarantees before and they really weren't a guarantee? I mean, they're just, oh, there is fine print there. Friends, there's no fine print on that. If you seek him, you will find him if you go after him with all your heart. Number two this morning, the second insight to intimacy is the motivation for fasting. And the motivation is to gain the Father's attention. It's to gain the Father's attention. We see this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus is speaking. He says, moreover, and notice this, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He's speaking to all of his disciples, and he says, when you fast. He expects us to fast. He says, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, don't go around telling everyone you're fasting. Don't go around, oh, it's so tough. I haven't been without food for 48 hours. I'm going to die. You see, the people back in Bible times, the Pharisees, they fasted regular. They had set days of fasting. When they fasted, they actually put like black makeup on, different makeup on, to make them look like they were suffering. Like, oh, I'm just suffering for God. I'm just sacrificing so much. They wanted to be noticed by others. And God was saying, when you fast so that other people can see it, you have your reward. You're not really gaining anything spiritually. That's being hypocritical. The key is the Father's attention. The motivation of fasting must be to get the Father's attention. You don't want a long-distance relationship. When there's a sense of a breach of intimacy, you're like David who says, as the deer pants for the water, that's how my soul longs for God. When you fast for intimacy, you're fasting not for something, God do this for me, you're fasting for someone. You're not fasting for what God can do. You're fasting for God himself. You're like Moses who says, God, show me your glory. I want you. You're like the Apostle Paul who says, that I may know him and the power of him being raised from the dead. You are after the person of God, not the promises of God. You're after not a solution, but you are after the solution, the Savior. And when you go for intimacy with God, it's not about, God, do this for me. It's, God, just break down the barriers in me so I can come closer to you. It's a humbling of yourself, saying, God, take me. That's why our theme this year, 2019, is seek the King, see the kingdom. Yes, we want to see the kingdom of God. We want people to be saved. We want people to be healed. We're praying for revival. We want to see Casper impacted. We want to get into our schools, our high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, impact the next generation, impact them through our food pantry. But friends, we're not about seeking results. We're about seeking the King. We want God. We want God's presence. We want God's love. We want God's glory. And as we seek the King, then the kingdom just naturally manifests around us. Seek the King and see the kingdom. Notice that David didn't say, as the camel pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. He said, as the deer pants. What's the difference between a deer and a camel? A camel says, I'm going to the well, and I'm going to drink from the well. And I'm going to drink and drink and drink and drink, and then I'm going to go for days, even weeks, before I go back to the well, before I go back to the spring, before I go back to the source. And I'm going to let that one-time drink carry me. And David says, I'm not like a camel. I'm like the deer. that the deer, I'm constantly coming to the spring. I'm constantly going to the river. I'm thirsting for God. It's not I fill up on God and then I go a long time without him. He says, I want this pursuit of God, this connectedness with God. If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all of your heart. How do you know when it's time to fast for intimacy? Revelation. Take a look at Revelation chapter 3. We're going to sit here for a little bit. We're going to look at a few verses. Verse 15, Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to one of the churches. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. When we were on vacation, as we travel in the car, we always get a ton of movies. It helps me stay awake as I'm driving. It was like a 16-hour drive to Phoenix. And one of the movies we watched and that I listened to, I didn't watch the movie when I was driving, but was the movie The War Room. It's the movie The War Room, and it's about the power of prayer. And in that movie, there's an elderly woman, and she invites her realtor over. She's trying to sell her home. She invites the realtor over. They're going to talk about the house, and she gives her a cup of coffee, and she serves it to her, and the realtor drinks the coffee, and it's lukewarm, and she says, you like your coffee lukewarm? And she says, no, I like mine boiling hot. She says, I know other people that like it iced. They like it cold. But nobody likes lukewarm coffee. Why is that? Because when you're cold, you want something to warm you up, you want a nice hot drink. When it's hot outside, you want something cold that refreshes you and quenches your thirst. Nobody likes a lukewarm drink. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, when you are hot or cold, that's what pleases me. How do you know when it's time to fast for intimacy? When it might be cold around you and everyone else is cold, but on the inside, you're on fire for God. You're burning hot for Jesus. You're passionate. It doesn't matter if someone says, well, I don't feel it. You've been in prayer. You've been seeking God. You're hot. You're there. Your temperature's up there. How do you know when it's time to fast? When you're not hot for God. How do you know when you need to fast? When the fires of life are burning all around you and you don't have this sense of God cooling you down, of God giving you peace, of God giving you joy, of God giving you stability. Instead, you're anxious and you're worried and you're fretting, you're full of fear. When you're not being cooled down in the fiery trials of life, that's when it's time to fast and pray for intimacy with God and say, God, make me hot, make me cold, take this apathy. And friends, I believe the Church of America, because we have such great wealth, we have our air conditioners and our heaters, and we have our three-car garage filled with a bunch of stuff and lots of vehicles and nice things and lots of clothes, and we've got Netflix and this Flix and that Flix and all these, so many things to enjoy and to fill our lives with, that we're so full of stuff that we haven't stopped to fill ourselves with God. And I'll come to church on a Sunday morning. But that's, maybe I'll break open the Bible if I think about it, if I've got time. God says, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, and I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. God is looking for a people that will seek him with all of their heart, because he wants to be found by us. In Revelation 3:20, just a few verses later, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You realize that Jesus wants to have a meal with you. He wants to come in. He wants to sit down. And just as you sit down as a family or on a date with your spouse, you sit down and you talk and you have fellowship. You just break from the busyness of life to sit and have a meal. Jesus says, that's what I want with you. I want to have this connection. I want this connection. You realize that to have a meal with Jesus, maybe you should give up a meal? I know for most of us, we could give up a meal. Say, God, I want you more than I want to feed myself today. I just want this closeness with you. God, I'm giving up television tonight. I'm not going to watch TV tonight. God, you and I, we're going to put on some praise and worship music, and we're just going to read the word, and we're just going to talk in prayer. We're just going to enjoy each other's company. Instead of inviting someone over to the house, Jesus, I'm opening the door. I hear you knocking. You want that closeness, that intimacy with me. So I'm fasting the physical to gain the spiritual. And when we do that, he makes us hot and he makes us cold. He cools us down. And we have an experience with God that is unbelievable. In the spiritual world, life is lived below the waterline. It's lived below the waterline. Have you ever seen a fancy yacht, big, beautiful, fancy yacht? But if underneath the waterline, it's not in good shape, your yacht's going down. And sometimes for us, we live above the waterline. We go to church. We minister. We read the Bible. I got to do all these things if I'm a Christian. And sometimes we make our life based out of performance. For me to please God, it's performance-based. There's this list of things I have to do, and then there's a bunch of things that I can't do. I can't go here, can't go there, can't do this, can't do that. And we're living our life off of a list, off of law, off of performance. And as a result, we don't have intimacy. The Christian life is a drudgery. And that's what happens when you live life only above the waterline. Below the waterline, that's fasting. That's praying. That's obedience. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go to church and do the ministry, and we don't tithe, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. Those things are good. But when you're living life below the waterline, you're connecting with God, then, man, I get to go to church today. Yes! I get to minister. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to get up and read my Bible and pray today. I get to tithe. I get to help. I get to do this. And there is a joy because I'm living life below the waterline. There is a reality, an underpinning that buoys me up. And it's not just something I do so others see without having a relationship with God. So the question is, how do we get this intimacy? What is the process? Look at point number three. The process for cultivating intimacy is to be still. Just to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The New American Standard says to cease striving. The word "be still" means to relax, to be quiet, to let go, to sink down. It means that you're slowing down in life, you're settling down, you're not rushing, you're calm. It's hard to be intimate with God when you're on the run. It's hard to be intimate, close with your spouse when you're on the run. You're never having any time to talk. You're going here, going there. When you're on the run, and the key to intimacy in your relationship with God or with other people is just to stop, to be still, to slow down, to settle down, to relax and say, you know what, God? I'm just going to take this time. I'm going to know you. So many times we say, I don't have time because I've got so much to do. That's when you say, all right, I'm going to fast lunch tomorrow. And I'm going to take that time when I'd normally eat, and I'm just going to pray and seek God. Or that half hour you'd spend on Facebook or playing video games or Candy Crush on your phone, or how many know we waste a lot of time? Yep. You say, you know, instead of watching TV, watching Netflix, I'm just going to fast that, and I'm going to take this time for God. Because, yeah, we always make time for that stuff, for the fun stuff. Oh, I got to check my Facebook. You take 10, 15 minutes. Uh-uh. God, I'm fasting that. When I'd normally do that, I'm just going to take some time and pray with you. Slow down. And if you're like me, it's easy to have a lot of noise going on. When my family's gone, I'll turn on the radio, I'll turn on the TV, even if I'm not watching, or just to have noise. when the radio's constantly playing, even Christian music, when the TV's constantly on, even Christian TV, we don't have this opportunity just to be still and know that He is God. We need to be quiet and slow our routines down so that we can hear Him. I'm holding a cordless mic this morning. It's not connected to anything. The reason this mic is working is because up on the sound booth, there is a receiver. And that receiver picks up invisible sound waves, and it catches them, and then it transmits the signal, and there's a connection there. Friends, when you want to make connection with the invisible God, you fast and you pray, and that picks up this signal, and you get a connection with God, and He hears you loud and clear, because if you seek Him, you will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart. Quickly, what are the results of intimacy? Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 38, the first thing is that God lets us in on things. God lets us in on things. In Luke 2, we see two individuals who are in the temple on the day that baby Jesus is being dedicated, being presented by His parents. And these two people are there because they have been directed by the Holy Spirit. The first one we see is Simeon. Simeon is so in tune with God that the Holy Spirit says, go to the temple today. You're going to see the Christ child. You're going to see the Messiah. And he's so in tune, he goes. And with all the hundreds of people there, the Holy Spirit helps him to hone in and to see this is Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And this child, God gives him a word and he prophesies about Jesus. Because he was so in tune with God. The other person is Anna. Anna's mentioned in verse 36 and 37. It says she did not depart from the temple. Now, that doesn't mean that she lived there, okay? Because the temple did not have rooms. It wasn't the hotel. What it meant when it says she didn't depart there, it means her routine was such that she was there every day. She just showed up every day. She didn't depart. She was always there. And it says that she was fasting and praying. She'd been doing it for decades. Since her husband died, she was widowed very young, and now she's 84 years old, and it says she is going to the temple every day because the Holy Spirit revealed to her that she was going to see the redemption. She wanted to see God's redemption. She's praying, God, this is what I want. Before I die, let me see the Messiah. Verse 38 says, coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Jesus to all those who looked for the redemption of Israel. You see, going back to Genesis chapter 3:15, God said to Eve, there's going to be one that's born of you who crushes the head of the enemy. It's going to come. That's Jesus he was talking about. In Isaiah, it says that there will be born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. And so she's praying, God, let me see your redemption. Let me see Emmanuel. Let me see the Christ child. And as she's there, as she's praying and fasting, God tells her, this is him, this little baby. He's the one. It's interesting because Mary and Joseph, we're told they offered an offering, and there was different kinds of offerings you could give. If you were rich, you were expected to give a better one. If you were poor, you gave just a couple of birds. They gave the offering for the poor. You would think that the Christ child, the Redeemer of the world, God's Son, would come from a very regal, powerful family. He came from a poor family, and Anna is so in tune with the Spirit. She sees this poor family. They're the ones. God lets you in on things. You know, when people know you well, they tell you a secret. Remember when you're in grade school and someone says, I got a secret, you can't tell anyone. Doesn't that make you feel good? You're in the know. Why? Because they know you well enough that they can trust you, that you have their best interest in mind. You're not going to do something that's going to hurt them. Friends, when God knows that you and I know him well enough, he's going to let us in on secrets, just as he did with Simeon and with Anna. He lets us in on things. What's the second result of intimacy with God? God gives us the strength to wait for our breakthrough. God gives us the strength to wait for our breakthrough. Luke goes into details telling us how long Anna had been there. She'd been there for decades. And friends, some of you, you've been praying and seeking God for decades. You've been saying, God, give me this breakthrough. God, help me to see this. And friends, when you fast and pray, when you go after God, God will give you the strength to wait. He'll give you the strength to wait for your answer, for your breakthrough. Before the internet, when people wanted to go to a music concert, nowadays you just go online, click, 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 and you get your tickets. But back many years ago, if you wanted to see Bruce Springsteen or Bon Jovi or, you know, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, or Michael Jackson, the king of the 80s, you know, you would have to go and stand in line to get your tickets. And some people, they were really serious. They would stand for days. They would take sleeping bags and tents. They would take food, or if they ran out, they would go without food. They'd go through rain and snow and hail, or whatever the... They were willing to be inconvenienced. Why? Because they wanted to get the closest ticket possible, because they wanted to be up front and see the performer close. Friends, my question to you today is this. Where do you want to sit in your relationship with God? Do you want to be right up front by the stage and say, man, I can see him? Or do you want to be way back in the nosebleed section, holding your nose because, oh man, this is so high. Friends, our King doesn't shake his hips. He shakes the world. He is the ultimate thriller. And it's not scary. He is fantastic. Jesus Christ says, if you seek me, you will find me. You can get as up close and personal as you want. It's your choice today. How close do you want to be to Him? Let's pray.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.